Yay.
So I'm just going to introduce Cass to everyone who's listening so you know a little bit about him. Cass is a pretty amazing guy, and he's kind of, in a way like me, has a wide body of expertise, but he brings it together in his own really unique way. So he's got a very innovative body of work, and it's all very simple, but it creates a lot of potential for people and reveals a lot about their truest nature. As you'll hear when I interview him, he has a very, very clear, very calming presence, and he assists people to really, really know themselves deeply. And the modalities he uses are around movement, meditation, healing work. He has a background in continuum movement, in structural integration, in Reiki, and also in A Course in Miracles. He's a Reiki master. He's also a specialist in sound meditations and sound healing. He's spent a lifetime as a musician and a sound healing therapist. And he has created his own program called BioTune Sound Healing Music, which is I'm really curious to hear about. It's a catalog of beautifully orchestrated soundscapes that are designed to balance your mind, your body, and your spirit. He also is an expert in nutrition amongst his many talents, and I've actually had a session with him where he helped me powerfully with my nutritional stuff and really was more spot on than anyone else I've ever talked to about my body, so very intuitive and wise. And he offers workshops globally and also what he calls tele-dives, focused on eros and inspiration, and as well as he also offers cleansing programs, internal cleansing programs, which he combines with his movement and nutrition and sound. And he has a private practice in Los Angeles where he works with clients with all sorts of issues, and particularly with neurological disorders. And I'm actually going to a retreat with him next month, only about a five-minute walk from here in Hawaii, which is called, it's called Living the Path of Love. Doesn't it just make you want to go to the retreat? Such a beautiful name. So, Cass, welcome onto my show.
My goodness, thank you so much. That was amazing hearing you introduce me, and then all of those things that it sounds like I'm doing something with my life. Thank you so much for saying all of that.
You know, it's really funny. Every time I read through what people have done, they always freak out because it's like so hard for people to hear themselves and all their accomplishments. But
oh,
yeah.
It's great.
So how does it feel to hear all that back?
Beautiful, and thank you. I'm so glad that we've been able to work together and that you benefited from it.
That's
and I'm
wonderful.
Really looking forward to our workshop in Hawaii. I'm so looking forward to that.
Oh, it's going to be divine. Divine.
Yeah.
So I'm just wanting to ask you, because you combine so many different modalities, and I just want to know, how does it feel to synergize so many different things together in the way that you do?
You know, that's a really good question. It's interesting. When you were naming all of those different elements, I was thinking about it. And for me, you know, my path has just been really simple. It's always been about being healthy, being happy, and, you know, feeling alive. And so in the process of I had, you know, a personal recovery where my immune system just sort of collapsed when I was right around my Saturn return when I was 28. And I went through my own healing process, and it was actually really a breakthrough as opposed to a breakdown. It was when I became a healer. And I wouldn't have recognized it if I wasn't doing the meditation practice that I was already doing, which has its roots in continuum. But out of that, really, all of my resources just came from my own process naturally, and then from out of that, just working with people. So everything has been in a holistic approach. It's basically, it's never been that I've sought out, you know, a certain modality or anything like that. It, just as I've listened to my body and, you know, our organism as a whole, these elements have just come out and said, you know, these are the things that will strengthen this system. These are the things that will, you know, support. And so what's been amazing was about 5 years ago, I really looked at everything that I was doing, and I realized that it had worked, and that it was working for other people. And I saw that that was actually when the nutrition piece came in, when I started working with people with nutrition, because I saw that I had these incredible resources. And, you know, I had basically scoured the world just searching around for the right minerals, the right, you know, forms of foods and superfoods, and I had just, you know, been guided and intuitively just found all of these amazing resources. So what I decided to do was not sell them, but just tell people about them and really just spread the word, you know, and help people find a, you know, start to find their own balance.
It's amazing. You know, it's funny, listening to you speak, I was kind of feeling like, yeah, you do all these millions of different things and you help people in so many different ways, but I feel like the main thing you're teaching people is how to listen to their body.
Absolutely. That's very true. To listen, I think that the body is the huge communicator of where our mind is, of where our spirit is. It's always communicating. And so that feels like a really good way to ground a lot of different concepts, because the body will always take us back to, in other words, I work with people who, for example, will be in a spiritual concept and they'll think that they want to be a vegetarian, or they'll think they want, you know, to do specific practices that actually go completely against what their organism is asking for.
Mm.
So, you know, and I'm neutral with all of it. You know, I'm neutral about being a vegetarian or a meat eater. You know, that's just one element. And what I found is that each person has a different constitution. And that's, you see so many diets out there. That's why you see so many spiritual practices out there.
Mm.
And so what I realize is that if I'm going to support people, it's really helping them realize their own path that's already sitting within them. And that their body can really inform them of what that path is, because when you're working with the neurological system, you're working with how it is that your neurology articulates, expands, develops, how it is that you become brighter and more healthy and your senses get stronger. When you really work with that part of your system, it's a very simple system. It communicates through two things, pleasure or pain. So if you're on the right track, all of you're going to have positive sensation constantly feeding your body. It's a very simple communication system. And if you're going in the wrong direction, and that can be psychologically, mentally, emotionally, you know, physically, whatever direction if you're going in the wrong direction, your body will definitely give you the signals of a contraction, of pain.
So what does it feel like for you now that you said that you looked back and you saw that all the things you've tried over the years that you've learned through listening to your body finally got to the point where you realize it's working? So I'm wondering, what does it feel like to be inside that person when you're getting only positive signals?
It feels amazing. I mean, honestly, it's weird because I think we live in a world that's, you know, where it's almost like foreign for people to be happy and feel good. And period where I actually really had to reckon with that and go, you know, this is what I've been asking for and working for, so I really have to just allow it and accept it and celebrate it. And I think, you know, it's funny because I realized at one point that I sort of, it's, you know, it's kind of hard to say this without it sounding like you're saying it from your ego, but I think anyone who's been through a healing process and recovered, there is a point of where you step out of the healing process and you enter into the phase of just being healed and celebrating that, and where you're no longer, you know, in that sort of self-encased, self-involved, you know, in constant process. And so there's a point of where you just go, you know what, I'm really happy. This is really good. and share it with other people.
Yeah. Well, then the urge seems to be, and I know this is in my experience of recovering from chronic pain, once the complete self-absorption of trying to get yourself well is over, then the urge does come to try and help other people with what you've learned.
It does. Yeah, and something that I've learned, that I've seen, is that a lot of times, you know, like for you and I, we could both probably say that it's what our healing process was, part of our awakening.
Yeah, definitely.
Of who we really are. And so I found that the more that I really received that, the gift of that, the more that I would fill up. And from that place, I wasn't trying to share from trying to, you know, do anything. It was just overflowing. And that's something that I see a lot in our holistic community, is that there's a lot of people who are body workers or healers, and they haven't quite received their own gift of themselves.
That's
really
beautiful.
Nourished really, really nourished from it to the point of where they're just overflowing.
Yeah, because I think a lot of us, and I've definitely had this lesson, tend to be coming from an almost urgency of wanting to share this with everyone, and then there's all this expectation it's going to help people and save people, and it's ego, and it's pain, it's coming from your own pain, and it's frustrating.
Yeah.
So I'm really liking what you're saying is a very different approach, is just allow your own healing to really fill you up to the point where you're so bursting with health and joy that it just flows over to help other people.
Yeah, it was never really my on my radar. You know, it was never, I didn't, when I was a kid, I never said, I'll work in the holistic world. And now, just to say, you know, now kids actually are, they're really these brilliant beings that are coming through. They're very clear about all of that. But for me, it was a different path. I mean, for me, it was a surprise layer by layer. So as I would enter into holistic communities, I would see people that were like incredible body workers, but they had never fully received their own gift for themselves. And so their body would be falling apart. Or somebody that, you know, it goes on and on, examples like that. And that was my teacher. That became my teacher because I needed to understand how that could happen. And I kept reflecting on it in myself of where it was that my strengths were not my strengths, where I was giving them away without fully nourishing from them.
I think it's a really, really amazing point that you're making. I know there's a lot of the people who are listening to this show are very conscious people. A lot of them are healers and coaches of various descriptions. And there is something in us, I think, in our programming as a society or maybe our childhood programming, it's like, I don't really deserve to feel that happy. So if I start to feel a bit happy, I've got to give it away.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's not enough for me to have just done this healing for myself, for my own happiness. That would be selfish, so I should be doing it for everyone else.
Yeah.
Which, of course, undermines the healing.
Yeah. Yeah, there's so many different layers to all of it, isn't there? The one thing that I find that I've worked with, first of all, I should say, anything that I talk about, it's because I've been through it. You know, I don't like read things in books and think they're big ideas and share them. I'm one of these people that is, I'm a Capricorn. So everything has to feel really grounded, and I've gone through it and I've experienced it. So I find that for me, the more that I really realize that internal sourcing is drawing me back to a place of inner peace and inner quiet, that's the greatest offering that I could give anyone. Just that simple offering.
And what was it like before you found this path?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, I could give you a little bit of my story, like my history growing up.
That would be interesting, I think, for people, because it's always powerful to hear where someone started, to really see the seeds that were planted.
Well, let's see. I had a tumultuous childhood in the sense that my mother had, both of my parents had addictions, and my mother was heavily into drugs, and my father was a covert alcoholic, although I think that was my experience. I don't know. I think he was able to manage things, but there was still a sort of a absence that was there. And then I was on my own from the age of 17, and I actually was born with what they would now identify as autism spectrum disorder. And I work with autism personally with people now, and what I understand that is it's actually a yeast infection that the mother passes on to the child through the birth process. And
that's amazing.
Yeah, and then when you have a compromised immune system, a baby has a compromised immune system, and you give it vaccines, it just throws the entire electrical system and the immune system off. And so you're actually, with autism, what you're looking at is a nervous system that's trying to develop while it's breaking down at the same time. And that's a lot like looking at an electrical storm. It's firing in all these different directions. So I definitely had that. I had a lot of learning disabilities and, a lot of just, and there was physical distortions. There were sexual distortions in the environment. So I think what I had managed to do was really survive my childhood. And I thought that I had, you know, when you're 20, I think I was about 24 when I was like, oh, I'm healed. And it was because I had survived my childhood. But right around 28, after about 4 years of doing my own internal work, just listening inward, listening to my connection to source, feeling that, my whole system just said, okay, so this false system is now ready to collapse. The false kind of identity that I had built to survive, you know, it was ready to collapse. And that was because there was something much deeper and coherent underneath of it that was ready to emerge, even though it was, you know, still very new. So that's kind of how that went.
How wonderful that you were able to hear that and feel that.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, people have asked, I think one of the questions that we, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, good. I heard a weird noise. I think one of the questions.
Probably the wind in the trees.
I think one of the questions that we all kind of ask each other is, you know, like, where did this start for you? How did this start? And for me, I always go back to this one sort of basic experience I have where ever since I was a kid, I can remember just laying down and feeling myself just deeply grounded and connected to the world and to source. And that's something that I've always just sort of gone back to. And I think that when I went through a healing process, there was a period of where I actually started to see that that was the healing, that was actually the solution, and that all of the modalities and all of the different resources and tools, those are all just to take you back to that place of rest, that place of the one experience of the eternal. And so it was interesting because I sort of started with that connection, and then I kind of went all the way in a big circle and a couple of loops up and down, and found myself back and realizing the actual value of that.
Because isn't it interesting how we all try and make everything so complicated?
Yeah. It's just what the mind does.
But the kids know it all already.
Yeah.
Ask the baby. They'll know exactly what we should do.
Yeah. And when I work with babies and I let them teach me, I just let them, you know, I treat them as the ultimate intelligence because they don't have all of the neurological patterning that we do of adapting in our culture. So it's just this, if you hold that open, potent space, you find this being that's just able to start navigating the entire process, the entire moment.
Amazing. So if you were kind of going to, I suppose, give a guiding principle or tip to people listening, would it be about listening?
For me, yeah. I think that the foundation of my personal practice and what it is that I can share with people is that I slow down and I feel what's already always here, the presence that's always here. And if there's resources that, you know, if you can't find yourself there, start listening to an inner intelligence that will guide you. Start asking it questions and listening and feeling for it. And I think that that's what makes us self-referential. It's what resolves codependency. It takes us, yeah.
It is interesting how, I certainly saw this in my journey, that many of us look externally for help. And we have talked about this on this show before, about looking to others, looking to experts, looking to solutions beyond ourselves. And I certainly know my healing journey was only on the day when I woke up and I realized, I have to get myself out of this. I have to figure out what it is my body's doing that's creating all this pain. But I was actually led to the process that helped me, which was Feldenkrais. But I don't think I would have been shown that until I'd really got to that point of. And that process only helped me because it's all about discovering your own awareness of your body as a person. So you do it all yourself.
Yeah.
So It's common for us to look outside of ourselves. So that is a beautiful piece of advice for people, to always come back to listening to your own inner wisdom, always come back to listening to your own connection.
Yeah, and I think as a messenger, that's, you know, for someone like you and I, that's, we're messengers of that, that is actually there, that inner wisdom is always there, and it's never left you, it's never going to go away, and it's just creating this space, an empty space, the non-doing space of listening. And
but the urge to do is very strong for many of us.
Yeah. And see, the thing that I find is that actually what the issue that we are actually having, which this is hilarious, is we have an issue of receiving. I think right now the thing that we're dealing with is that we don't receive, and yet we're constantly trying to consume. We're in a consumer-driven culture and a consumer, you know, a consumption-based system, but yet we don't receive the, you know, for example, when we take an inhale, we take an inhale, but if you just receive the inhale, there's this whole other depth and really love making that comes out of that.
It's as simple as in breathing, but it happens in everything.
Yeah, we all kind of went, oh.
Oh, I've just gone, oh, I just want to go breathe now, but I'm on air, I'm on radio show.
So, yeah, I mean,
but
there's something
beyond,
about...
I mean, I was really thinking about what you just said. I mean, it is very true. We are so busy trying to consume, and even the things we consume, we don't allow ourselves to receive.
Yeah.
Fully.
Because
if we did, we probably wouldn't need to go and buy another thing.
That's true.
Because we'd already have the thing that we had because we fully received it.
Yeah. And when it comes to this intelligence, this eternal being that we are, that's living in the formless space of us, when we receive that, when I receive that, I feel satisfied. And usually, so if there was any other piece that I would offer, it's my morning practice is the most important time for me. I don't get out of bed. I mean, sometimes I have to, but I wake up so that I can get out of bed feeling that connection first. And just, even if it's just for a minute, but I call it causeless joy. Joy beyond conditions. And just letting myself, because I think when, for me, when I wake up, my mind isn't quite, it's not as busy, it's slowed down. I can feel my heartbeat. I can feel. And so from that place, that's the place of where I go, okay, so there's pain, there's emotions, there's all these different things. How do I feel the causeless joy that is beneath that? That is always here.
So what's the process that you use while you're lying there when you first wake up to get
to that? So it's, first it's that I feel where I am, feel the earth, I feel my heartbeat, I feel my breath. So I kind of, that's the initial part of receiving. So I receive the heartbeat, I receive the light, the day, the breath, and then from there I start to get information, I start to feel what that feels like. And then I understand what it is that, who I am that day and who it is that, you know, what it is that's showing up. And then from there, I just start looking for the causeless joy. I start looking for it. And that's another way of saying receiving it. I know
it's
that
sort of like tuning in.
Yeah.
So I really like what you're saying about receiving, because I kind of like think of us as like human antennas, and we're walking around. There's all this stuff trying to be said to us, but we just don't hear it because we haven't switched the headphones on.
Yeah. And what's so interesting is that, you know, if we look, we're in a yang, a male dominant yang based culture, and there's a huge imbalance with that. I mean, clearly we all know this. In other words, there's this sort of, you know, direct forward movement that's always trying to reach a result. And that's, you know, that's a very active, but the imbalance comes out of the receptive yin, the receptive feminine that we all have, male or female, that we're not actually allowing that to be what it is that fuels us forward. So it's, again, it's that step, how we talked about body workers are missing the step of receiving their own gifts before they give it. It's the same thing with as we receive ourselves, enter that yin state, that feminine receptive state. From that place, there's sort of filling up again, and then from that place, there's right action. There's action that comes out of that, that's coming from that intelligence, that yin intelligence. And
so receive the impulse, and then we can use our masculine energy to act on it, rather
than
making a decision in our head and acting.
Yeah, exactly. So like as you're receiving, you're actually getting all of the energy and all of the resources to take that action.
Hmm.
But what's happening in our culture, and this is why we have adrenal fatigue, is that we get an idea, and then we go, I'm going to do this idea, and give me the coffee, and give me the, you know, whatever else to do it.
The chocolate, in my case.
Yeah. But if we actually just get the idea and receive it as inspiration, take those other steps of really feeling it resourcing us from that place, the actions that come out of that are coming from what I would refer to as the flow of intelligence. You're now kind of dropped into the right action that could be, rather than thinking I have to do this and make it happen. That's why I teach moving meditation. It's very nonlinear, fluid movement where you can feel yourself being guided by this sort of fluid intelligence that all of life shapes through. So if you look in nature, what you'll always see is that there's spirals and arcs and wave motion and, you know, fractals, and everything's curving and arcing. Even if it looks straight, it's straight. It's literally spiraling inside. And so I've found, you know, even in the bones, in our bones, it's we can see spirals. You probably know that from your work. But that, again, those spirals and all of that fluidity, that all comes out of an involution, as in a receiving of itself that then turns into energy and expands outward. Now, this is actually how the sun, all the light that we see from the sun is involuting in on itself.
What does involuting mean?
So it's literally turning in on itself.
Right.
It's receiving itself. So do you know the symbol of the Ouroboros, the snake swallowing its tail?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that's what the sun is doing. Literally involuting in on itself, as in folding in, turning in on itself, receiving itself, and then beaming outward.
Huh.
And that's actually how in the birth process, when, you know, inside the womb, that's how all the cells develop. That's how the midline, everything that happens in the embryonic process, it's all an involuting.
Amazing. I think it's making me think of something one of my spiritual teachers said to me a couple of years ago, which was a huge turning point for me. He was saying, you know, we all want to give love, which means we're depleted. And he taught me that instead of giving love and depleting, you just feel your own self-love and let it fill you, and then just radiate that.
Yeah.
And that seems to be what you're talking about. That's what the sun's doing. It's filling itself up with its own self-love, with its own beams of energy, and then just radiating that out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you said that so simply and clearly. It's beautiful.
Well, how amazing if we did that in every moment. I'm so inspired to get off the phone call and just sit and receive the air.
You can do it right now.
I can do it right now. That's true. I'm receiving your information.
Yeah.
But no, after this radio show, we're actually going to drive for about 5 minutes from here to these beautiful tide pools, warm pools in the ocean, which I've never been to. I'm just going to sit in them and just feel.
You're going to go to the tide pools over on the, are you on the Hilo side?
We're right near the retreat center.
So oh, great. Yeah.
For those of you listening, I mentioned before I'm going to a retreat that Cass is running in October. I'm just curious, is this the sort of things we're going to be looking at, movement, explorations, and just being and tuning into our breath and listening to ourselves? Is that the sort of stuff we'll be doing?
Yeah, absolutely. The way that we do it is we come together as a group, and then we establish what it is that each of us is, you know, wanting to work with. And then from there we go into, I call it a dive. And a dive is where we go inward. We dive into our own systems. And what I do is I offer resources. I offer breaths and movements and ways to listen and shifts in perspective, layer by layer, day by day, so that we can go deeper and deeper into feeling the source, feeling who we really are. And part of the reason why I love Kalani and why I do the workshop there is because they have the Watsu pool. And I have a body of work that I call bioaquatic healing or bioaquatic movement. And that's where we go into that warm saline, that really chemical-free body temperature water. And we work with the breath, and we have floaters where we float, and we really work with repatterning, releasing neurological trauma and neurological holdings. The water is so amazing. It just it's really kind of hard to put into words because it's so profound and simple how it happens. But once you merge yourself back into that embryonic fluid, your neurology will just start self-correcting. It will very simply, just like a hiccup, release something that's been holding in a split second, and then from there reorganize back to a coherent, more coherent system. And so,
how extraordinary. It's like pressing reboot.
Oh, my God. Absolutely. And it's incredible. And the thing that's amazing about being in the water is, like, if you're trying to unravel an injury, a lot of the times what happens in gravity, we work in gravity too. We work in the mornings and in the afternoons in gravity, but, you know, on land. But when you're in the water and you're trying to sort of unravel something in your spine, because you're not limited to running into the ground or running into anything, you can just literally unwrap a whole, a whole pattern in your system within seconds. And so we work in with the noodles, which are these floaters, and then also sometimes I'll come around and I'll work with people, or people will choose to work in partners. So we do that for about an hour, maybe 3 or 4 days, a day. About an hour a day for about 3 or 4 days. But otherwise, we're working on land and we're working. And when I say working, that means that we're meditating and moving and playing and dancing and just really following the flow, following how it is that this inner intelligence is guiding us.
Well, if anyone listening feels like flying over to Hawaii and doing it with us, that would be lovely.
Yeah.
If anyone is interested, actually, I should say this, that my website, tanitalk.com, I have a link to Cass's website. So if anyone is feeling inspired, come join us at this retreat. It's going to be divine. But I know that, Cass, you also do teledives. What is that? Is that where you do this, guide people through these processes online? Is that?
Yeah, it's basically, like, the way that the teledives work is I work with people all over the world, so I'll have workshops, and then to keep the continuity of, you know, the work, what I've found, like you say, you know, it's one thing to be on an island or on top of a mountaintop. It's another thing to be in your life and in relationship. So I found that the retreats are amazing to clear the past and reconnect with your present, you know, inspiration. And then the teledives are really helpful for when you go back to your life and you're in your world. And we work with, you know, then we work with the life. And in the teledives, we'll spend about the first 40 minutes of talking kind of how we have been here. And then from there, I'll take us into a meditation, a dive. And we'll work with the slowing down and the reconnecting. And each teledive will have a series of 4 sessions. Once a week, and we'll work with a specific focus.
Amazing. And so if people are doing those kind of processes and also starting to learn to listen to their body in terms of what it wants to eat and how it wants to move and when it wants to rest, that must just have a huge shift for people.
Yeah. And also just how to be in relationship. A lot of, you know, in the Hawaii retreat, what I notice comes up a lot of the time is people wanting to really live in their inspiration, what it is that really inspires them, and how to step into that, really step into it and take those steps. So we'll do whole series where we're really working with, okay, I'm going to make these steps. How do I do them? How do I, you know, Alan has actually been, he's done several of the teleseries.
Yes, he's the one who's encouraged me to do the retreat. It's going to be divine. so looking forward to. Well, for those people who can't fly all the way to Hawaii to the retreat, or maybe who are listening to this 6 months down the track and it's already been and gone, I just wanted to ask, Cass, we've only got like probably 5 minutes left, if you had anything really that's burning to share with the listeners that you've learned in your journey that's made a huge difference in your life, what would that be, do you think? Just feeling into that.
I think other than, it would almost just be a recap, and I'd love to ask you that question too. For me, what I really feel that I've learned, and that my main, what I would really love to share with people is that we're whole and we're complete and we always have been. And we don't know that, we're just listening to a part of our mind that's a defense structure that's confused, that we could call the ego, which is just fear. And we have all of the resources living within us if we can just slow down, give ourselves the space of the non-doing and receive it.
That's powerful. I want everyone to go back and press rewind and write that down. Including myself. We are all whole and complete and there's nothing else to do but slow down and feel our own knowing.
Yeah.
And I've definitely had times in my life where I've done that, and I felt very full, and then my shadow is always about going back into doing, thinking.
Yeah.
And I really feel the difference in every sense when I do one or the other.
Yeah, that's why I like what I liked about what we were just talking about is that we were really talking about how the doing can come from the non-doing.
Yes.
Once you resource yourself, there's this inspiration that comes out of you, and it's just effortless. I mean, there's always challenges, but you're just so connected to what it is that you really want to do that it's coming from that effortless, like, yes, this is what I want with my life. And so that's such a different place than that efforting that we, that, you know, that we...
Yes, but there's a lot of conditioning in us. I certainly feel this, that we feel doing should come from thinking, and doing should come from willpower, and doing should come from shoulds, and doing is effortful, and doing takes energy.
Yeah.
And so it's a real shift and a real reframe to feel within yourself and to believe that doing can come from just being. Come out of doing nothing, just being and connecting, and just suddenly being filled up and then being compelled forward by the energy.
Yeah, and
it's very alien in our world.
Yeah, and I think that's why workshops are important, is to bridge that distance between that, the place of getting to the being and how that turns into, you know, right action.
And it's not something that just hearing it is going to be enough. It's also something that needs to be felt.
Yeah, and I think, you know, that's why I find it so important to work with the body, because when you have a neurological experience of receiving nourishment, you know, receiving positive sensation and receiving your own energy, and you feel it moving your body, and you feel that movement lift your arm all the way to a complete movement, and then continue to literally unravel and heal your body, when you feel that, you neurologically now have that pattern of receiving yourself, moving, growing, expanding, and taking action. It's literally now in your neurology from a totally coherent place. And then you can go out in the world, and you've already got it built into you exactly how it is that you're going to do everything.
So for people who are listening who may not have access to a workshop or anything, is there any simple technique you could suggest in just a minute or two that might give them even just a glimpse of beginning that play?
Yeah, and I think it's what we're both going to do when we get off the phone, which is lay there and receive your breath. And when you feel like, don't try to make your breath do anything, just receive it, and then you may go through different fluctuations where you're breathing quickly, breathing shortly, breathing fast, breathing slow, taking long inhales, taking deep exhale, you know, whatever it is, but just go into a non-doing space. Feel the earth supporting you. And then from that place, just receive your breath. Receive the inhales. Receive the exhales. Receiving the exhales is incredible.
Oh, good. It's been beautiful. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And I'll see you in a few weeks.
Okay, great. I'll see you.
Excellent.
Bye, everyone.
Wasn't that beautiful?